Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, it is that time again, 10 p.m. on a Thursday. It is where the Middlesbrough fans take over. And you can have your say this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. It was Blackburn on the weekend and the return of cult hero Stuart Downing. It was 1-1 though. No win in four for Middlesbrough, but they are two draws on the spin. So unbeaten in two games. Let's take the positive. A man who joins us now, it is the brilliant Phil Spencer from Football League World to tell us all about it. Phil, 1-1 on the weekend, a game that was a draw, but both teams had their chances, and maybe Middlesbrough felt like they could have and should have had the 3 points.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a bit of a strange game, to be honest, at the Riverside on Saturday. It was one which I think Middlesbrough had the better of the play. They started really strongly. The first half was it was a little bit disrupted by just a few injuries that were kind of going on. There was a clash to the head in Middlesbrough's penalty area, and just a few other times when the ball kind of went out of play, which kind of stopped Jonathan Woodgate from gaining any kind of real momentum. So the first half was a little bit scrappy. The second half, Middlesbrough still looked pretty asleep when Blackburn went through and scored, but it was the goal that which Middlesbrough really needed because it kind of sparked them into life. And then what we saw in the final 15-20 minutes or so from the home side was exactly kind of what you wanted to see. A couple of inspired substitutions from Jonathan Woodgate really made the difference, and so yeah, I think on the balance of play, Middlesbrough arguably could have come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, they had loads of chances, not many on target, but a wealth of chances, just couldn't convert those chances. And actually, they were in the upper hand of the game, weren't they? And it was actually Rovers that took the lead, and it did come against the run of play, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was one of those where Middlesbrough were kind of the underbulk of the possession. They were kind of getting into the right areas, but they weren't really creating what you'd class as a clear-cut chance. It was just it wasn't quite polished enough for me in terms of those final balls into the final third. They were just lacking that little bit of quality to carve out that clear-cut chance. But Blackburn got their goal. It was a goal where, yes, it was poor defending, but from my point of view, it was a well-taken goal from Lewis Travis from Blackburn. And it was exactly what Middlesbrough needed to spark them into life. And the introduction of Rudy Gusted and Britt Sombalonga, who made his return from injury, really made a difference and gave Blackburn something to think about in the closing stages.
Yeah, because I really felt like Borough were going to nick all 3 points. They had chances at the death to snatch it. And look, people could see four games without a win, but I'd rather say two unbeaten. And the team plan like this, once they do make the breakthrough, you know, maybe the start of a run now towards that home stretch, because they were looking and coming on strong towards the end, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Statistics are always a little bit deceiving in football, because as a journalist, you kind of know it. They can be spun any way that you want them to. Obviously, you're mentioning there about four games without a win. It kind of changes quite quickly, and particularly when they're drawing a lot of games, as Middlesbrough have done recently, it's quite easy to kind of spin them both ways. The last few games for Middlesbrough, for example, they have played two games against Tottenham in that time, and it does kind of make things a bit tricky. But I think the signs are generally positive for Jonathan Woodgate's side. I think it's been a really demanding few weeks for his squad. Obviously, he's had a lot of injuries. It's been a small squad who've had to deal with a lot of games. And although there was a bit of a break going into the match with Blackburn, I think they deserve a bit of credit for the job that they've done against some tricky opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it bodes well, and one way it does bode well, a lot of new contracts being signed by youngsters. But before we get on to those, Phil, there was big news last week. It was the end of the transfer deadline. We was predicting maybe a quiet end to the window. We know Middlesbrough were trying to bring back Ben Gibson, but what we didn't know at the time is that they were going to sign Ravel Morrison, a bit of a left field one, this coming from Sheffield United. We all know of the potential. We all know of the talent and the ability. Just quite hasn't worked out for him. What do you make of this one? Because if it works out in Middlesbrough, you know, they could have a real player on their hands.
It is a strange one. It's a signing which certainly came out of the blue for Middlesbrough and for everyone involved, really. But I think, to be honest, it's something of a free swing, really. I think people have kind of got their own preconceptions about Ravel Morrison. Obviously, he's now 27 years old. He's never really been able to fulfil that potential. But what everyone tells you is that he's one of the most talented players that came out of Man United's academy all those years ago when he was playing alongside the likes of Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard and all of them. So I think for Middlesbrough, it's one where I think it's fairly low risk. I've seen a lot of people saying that it is a particularly risky signing, but the fact that he's joined on a loan deal until the end of the season, and the wage contribution is going to be fairly low, I'd imagine, because he only joined Sheffield United shortly before coming out to Middlesbrough on loan. And so I think for Middlesbrough, it's just a case of if they can get a tune out of him, then they're massive winners in this deal, because they've obviously got a really talented player on the books. If nothing happens, it'll go back to Sheffield United. There's no massive financial outlay. And it's something which, it's not really going to cost Middlesbrough massively in the long run. I think in terms of whether we'll get a run of games in the side, I do think Jonathan Woodgate will give him a go. He's kind of quite openly backed him in his press conferences, saying that he's shown exactly what he wants to see since coming into the club. Woodgate's also kind of drawn attention to his somewhat sketchy past, I guess you could say, from the younger years of his career where he got into trouble and that kind of thing. He seems all up for giving a player his another chance to succeed. I mean, ultimately, if you're talented and you can dig in and show Jonathan Woodgate what he's about, then Ravel Morrison could be a shrewd little bit of business for them.
Yeah, we all know of the tag he has, that bad boy tag, you know, someone that's maybe not had the most maturity, not had the most discipline. But I think, or maybe it's just me, Phil, I think football fans in general, not just Middlesbrough fans at the minute, would love to see him realise that potential and reach that level. You know, we all know of the stories, a wonderful footballer, he went over to Lazio, it's not quite worked out, and like you said there, this is the bottom line of it. Middlesbrough, there's no risk here, really. It's win-win. If it works out, happy days. If it doesn't, you know, it's not cost them much. And maybe Woodgate, with his background and his backstory, is the perfect person. But we've said this a lot of Ravel's career, that this is the person to finally get him out of it. But footballers' careers are so short. He hasn't, you know, he's already 26 now. He's wasted many years. It's the perfect opportunity and the perfect stage for him to shine, really, Phil. And on that, because you did say it come left field, what are what's the general consensus of Middlesbrough fans feeling towards the signing? Happy to see him or a bit dubious?
I think it's been a little bit of a mix, to be honest. I think there's a lot of fans who are a little bit dubious, but then I think there's also a sense of realism about it. Like I said, it's not a risky signing for Middlesbrough by any means. Yes, if he was this disruptive influence, as all of the tabloids kind of paint out from previous years, then it could have been an effect on the squad. But the impression that I get is that he's not like that, and he's at a point in his career where, let's be honest, the years that he spent so far in his career have been wasted, and he hasn't really been able to fulfil that potential. So from the player's point of view, it's probably getting on to last chance saloon if he's going to have any kind of successful career in professional football. So I think for the player, he'll be certainly be keen to impress. I think for Middlesbrough, they needed an attacking player to come in, particularly after the injury to Patrick Roberts, which he sustained last month as well. And so I think it's just it's a deal which sort of makes sense. It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit random. It's one which could really go either way. He could do absolutely nothing in this next 6 months, and no one would be surprised. But just on the off chance that he does manage to pull it out of the bag, even in just a couple of games, then it'll be seen as a signing that was worth making.
Yeah, and last week, Phil, we spoke about on the show, you know, that Middlesbrough really looking towards, you know, stars of the future, getting those prospects in place, building that foundation, using them as building blocks. Marcus Tavernier signing a new 3.5-year deal, and that, you know, a lot of youth players have followed that. Spencer signed a new deal. Ben Liddell signed a new deal, joining Hayden Coulson. They're really already plotting that vision and that project for the next few years, tying that core spine of the squad down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's vital to what they're doing. It's, I think, from the start of the season all the way through, I think Jonathan Woodgate was... He has been tasked with getting these young players up to scratch, kind of embedding them in the first team and making sure that they're kind of in and around that first team squad. I think although a few of them have been handed opportunities this year, obviously you mentioned about Spence and Coulson and Ainsley Pearce in goal, they've kind of established themselves ahead of schedule, if you like, in the first team setup. But yeah, you look at the likes of Ben Liddell and Stephen Walker and a few of the other lads who've gone out on loan. And their players who the club, they might be looking towards to play a much more key role in the next couple of years. A lot of Middlesbrough senior players are out of contract in the summer. So that's very much up in the air in terms of who's going to be staying. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to fall solely on the young players to make up the starting 11 next season. But if some of these players can impress while they're out on loan, come back in pre-season and really make an impression, it might just mean that Middlesbrough don't have to go into the transfer market to replace them. So I think it's a really exciting time for the club. The whole business model now is based on developing players in the academy or signing for next to nothing, and then developing them into first team players or ultimately selling them on at a profit. So I think the fact that they are trying to sign these players, keep them at the club long term, I think it's just smart business. Hopefully Middlesbrough can reap the benefits of their development, and if Middlesbrough don't go the way that they want to go in terms of ultimately building for a return to the Premier League, then there might be the opportunity to sell them on for a few quid, which would benefit everyone.
Yeah, well, they stuck by Jonathan Woodgate. I'm sensing that the future is bright on Teesside. Well, that's what we're hoping for anyway, Phil. Phil, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Middlesbrough Fan Show. Always good to get your insight, but make sure you not only stay around for the second half. We're going to be looking towards those games with Brentford and Wigan. It's actually Luton, Barnsley after that. Huge, massive games for Borough, but we're going to be talking about a little indoor friendly that they arranged to get other players back to full fitness.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, there is still time to have your Middlesbrough say this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We just heard from Phil Spencer there from Football League World all about the result on the weekend and maybe how Middlesbrough are getting those building blocks in place for the next season. Delighted to say now, I'm also joined by a man who knows much more than me when it comes to Middlesbrough. It is the brilliant Stephen Jackson from the 12th Man podcast. Stephen, always good to talk to you and get the insight into your team. The return of football this weekend. We spoke about the game, as I'm sure you would have heard. 1-1 on the weekend, but Borough having loads of chances, just couldn't put them in a bag to get those 3 points.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame that we couldn't put the chances away at the end. Becky made a fantastic save right near the end from Rudy's header. It was just one of them days where they started really well, got into the game, obviously got the goal early in the second half. But after that, I think we dominated the last half an hour. Even the god that is Stuart Downing went a bit anonymous in the last 20 minutes he was on the pitch. So, it was just, we missed a couple of chances. It was a good point in the end, but slightly disappointing not to get all three.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, Stephen, we're seeing this, aren't we, when we just brought them in. I feel like they're playing brilliant in patches, in spells. We're not seeing a consistent 90 minutes. Even the game that against Spurs in the Cup, you know, started a little slow out of blocks. And then that second half, much, much better. Once we work out what it is, that ingredient to get it for 90 minutes, you know, there is a real a core of a side there.
Yeah, well, you can see, getting towards the end of the game, so our fitness is up there with the top teams in the league. No team can outrun us. No team is fitter than us, I suppose. And you can see that on Saturday as well. I mean, Blackburn, at the very end, they were blowing. They were gone. Their legs were wobbling. We looked strong. We looked ready to take them to the cleaners. We just couldn't get that final, I suppose, bit of oomph to get us over the line, if you know what I mean. It's just, it is coming together. It's obviously a slow start. It was a slow start to all season as well. So it has epitomised all season, really slow starts. But we are getting there. It's encouraging signs for the future for me.
Yeah, you mentioned it's coming together and you mentioned fitness. Well, it's interesting because maybe a missing piece of the puzzle is the players that haven't been able to make the field recent, but we could be soon seeing them again. I know Middlesbrough have arranged an indoors friendly with Celtic. Just trying to get the full fitness back of players like Ryan Shotton, George Friend. Are those two players that can still have an impact on the side this season and you know, really help them kick on towards the second half of the season?
Well, they're players that can fit into positions that we've missed out on. I mean, at one point before McCooley came in, before Nathan Wood happily slotted in against Birmingham, we had Dale Fry at the back as our only recognised centre-back. So to get players in back like Shotton, like George Friend, especially George Friend, who's one of the most experienced players within the club, he's our captain, he's our leader. I just think it strengthens our look at the back as well. And then you look up front as well. We've got Samba Longa coming back. I'm sure he'll get some minutes against Celtic. He obviously came on again against Blackburn at the weekend after, I think, 6 weeks out. So we're starting to get them players back. And it's like having new signings. Obviously, we made 5 signings in January, but it's like getting new signings back. And the squad is getting stronger and stronger as the weeks go on now.
Yeah, it is getting stronger and stronger and obviously hoping to stay that way for the next few seasons because obviously we spoke about the arrival of Ravel Morrison. I want to get your thoughts on that, A. But B, obviously really tying up those youngsters now. We saw that Hayden Coulson, Marcus Tavernier, we spoke about that last week. But now we're seeing Spence as well and obviously Ben Liddell signing a contract. Really tying the next generation down, Stephen.
Yeah, it's starting to show what Woodgate was talking about in June. We're talking, 7-8 months ago, when he was saying he was going to give the youth a chance. It's time to start looking at the youth and start this project afresh and bring them through. And it's really encouraging to see players like Jed Spence, Hayden Coulson, Marcus Tavernier all getting new contracts, especially Coulson and Spence. They've really flourished this season. They've come into the team. They've been fantastic. They've been a breath of fresh air. And to get them players within the season pros that we've got within the club, and to keep players out that we brought in 2 fullbacks in the summer, and they've had to go, one's obviously injured in Dykstil, the ballers had to go back out on loan because he can't get in the team because of our whippet on the left in Hayden Coulson. So it's really encouraging. It's showing that our youth system is working, and that's what Woodgate obviously started with in the under-18s, and obviously to get promoted up to the first team. So he knows what's coming and he's fully confident that we can bring these kids through and they can have a successful career within Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah, not only can he bring those kids through, a player, he had a brilliant career, Woodgate. He can guide them. We're seeing what a great manager he can be, but just guide them from his own experiences. Robbie Keane on the staff as well. It's what those players need, a little bit of veteran experience, a wise head. Maybe where that could come in handy as well, Ravel Morrison joining. Stephen, last time we spoke last week, we wasn't expecting this one. He signed, though. I think the potential's there. I'm quite excited about it. How do you feel?
It's one of those. It can go either way, can't it? It can be an absolute disaster. It could fall away again, or it could thrive. And what we're seeing, in the first couple of days, pics of training videos that the club's released, Ravel looks up for it. He looks ready. He looks a little bit calmed down. It's like he's found a manager within Woodgate where he could see a little bit of himself in Morrison. As in, he was one of them people that outside influences were influencing his life and how he played football, where he played football as well. And I just feel that Woodgate is the man to put his arm around him and say, come on, this is club number 9 in his career. This is your time to settle down. Let's have a look at you. Let's get you some football. And he'll get some minutes under his belt. And as I say, back when he was at Manchester United, they weren't talking about Paul Pogba in the youth team. We're talking about Ravel Morrison. And if we can get that sort of quality player out of Ravel, I think they'd be a fantastic signing for the rest of the season.
Oh, another player to add to that mix. It's all boding very well, Stephen. Looking like a really positive future and one with Woodgate at the helm. Obviously, looking towards the games now, Brentford and Wigan, the next two before we get to speak. Two massive games. I want to cover them. But also, after that Brentford game, we know it's a tough tie. We know what Brentford are doing this season. But then you've got Wigan, Luton and Barnsley. Those three teams in and around you, those next four fixtures, especially those three, well, they're monumental, aren't they?
This is our season for me. This is where we can really turn the corner and stop looking behind ourselves and start looking up the table. Obviously, fans, you can kind of forget about the playoffs. Obviously, it's a nice pipe dream. If we get there, we get there. If we don't worry about it. There's always next season. But this is where you have to pick up your points. If we can get a point on Saturday, for instance, and get between 6 and 9 points from the remaining three games against Wigan, Luton and Barnsley, that will really set us up going forward for the rest of the season. Especially when you look at after Barnsley, we've got Leeds United at home. That is going to be such a tough test. I just feel this is the time where we've really got to click on and we've really got to push ourselves to get the maximum points on the board and really start looking above us in the table and not below us.
Yeah, it's kind of not make or break. We know what Borough are doing this season, but it just we get a better identity and character of the side after those four. Hopefully a good run. Maybe, who knows, four unbeaten after not winning in four games. But on the Brentford and Wigan, two quick predictions from you, Stephen.
Brentford 1-1. We don't get beat at Brentford, so I can't see us getting beaten again. I think we'll shock Brentford. So 1-1. And I think we'll go to Wigan. I think we'll win. So 2-0 at Wigan as well.
Yeah, well, that would actually be four unbeaten, because I know it's not you haven't had a win in four, but the last two have been draws. So we could see actually the start of that positive run. Stephen, I want to quickly talk about and put the focus on you now, because we get to enjoy you on the Middlesbrough Fan Show, but we know you do a brilliant Middlesbrough podcast, the 12th Man podcast. And at the minute, it seems like it's all going from strength to strength and getting a little bit exciting for your end.
Yeah, we've obviously we record it every Tuesday night. It does go out on various social and media outlooks platforms. Obviously, to give ourselves a listen, give yourself a follow. Our 12 man page, the link is always there. We've got our episode going up tonight for this week, where we do look forward to the Brentford game. So our preview will be in there, and in the coming weeks, we do have some special guests coming onto the show. Obviously, can't say too much at the moment. Don't want to jinx it, but it is well worth the listen, well worth the wait. And it's going from strength to strength. It's going really well at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say special, and they are. They're not. You're not using that word lightly. Definitely make sure you tune around. So much so that I can't wait till you do those potential interviews and we can get further insight into the team. But you're saying you might get a point against Brentford and Wigan, and it just feels like the new dawn, maybe, for Middlesbrough is finally here. It was on the horizon before, but it's an exciting time. I feel like the fan base, that's what they're feeling at the minute.
Yeah, the whole fan base is behind the club. There's no split as we had last season under Pulis. There's no, you know, we hate him, we love him, we hate the club, we love it. We're all fully behind this project. We were sold a 3-year project. We were getting towards the end of year one. This is, we are starting to see what Mr. Gibson and obviously Woody were talking about back in June. This is a club that we need to stick behind. Get rally behind them as well, even when times are tough. Like on Saturday, we went 1-0 down. Did we deserve it? Probably on the way the player was going. But there was no booze, there was no nothing. It was right, that happened. Let's pick up the ball, rally behind the team, let's go and get a goal. And we did. And I just feel the whole fan base is fully behind the team. We're fully behind in the North Stand. We've got fans in the South Stand. Every stand in the stadium wants our team to do well, and I just feel with our fan support we really can be the 12th man for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. It might be four without a win, but they did go behind. They maybe could have felt like they won. They could have got the 3 points, but it's the character, the grit to come back and still stay in the game. That's the positive we have to take. Stephen, really always a delight to chat to you. A pleasure to have you on tonight and be on the Middlesbrough Fan Show. You know more than most. We're looking forward to the 12th Man podcast. But as always, you can ask questions to Stephen and Phil. Have your say as well. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We will be here at the same time next week at 10 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.